Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we are just blown away by the work and the ideas that Ken Page is talking about. He talks about core gifts and this being the aspects of ourselves that are our greatest gifts, but also our most tender places and how we get separated from it, pulled away, disconnected, defensive of it. And he talks about it in a way that really helps us move towards it and gives us the opportunity to maybe connect intimately with our partner in ways we haven't in a long time. So please stay tuned. Do you want to feel more emotionally and intimately connected with your partner? Then we have the tool that is exactly right for you. We have a program called Relationship Renovation at Home, and it is an amazing way for you and your partner to have a structured way weekly to work together.
Because we deserve awesomeness in our relationships.
Just go to our website, relationshiprenovation.com. At the top, there's a link to at-home program, and it will give you a free lesson if you want to just check it out and see if it's something that works for you and your partner. We know it will make a significant positive impact on your relationship.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And well, we are very excited because this topic, you know, the topic that always resonates with people is intimacy. And we always want to make sure we talk about intimacy is on a spectrum. It's everything from kind words to gentle touch to gratitude, all the way to sex and physical intimacy. But this is going to touch on, I think, something that's like super important. And we're going to bring in a wonderful speaker today. His name is Ken Page. He's a renowned psychotherapist and a leading voice of hope and wisdom for everyone seeking to find and cultivate healthy, lasting love. He's the host of the Deeper Dating Podcast, which I listened to a couple of episodes recently, and you should definitely check it out because it's wonderful. He's also the author of the best-selling Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. And he's also the creator of the Deeper Dating Intensive. So hello, Ken, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast.
I am so glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm just like got that title of the book, Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. Just, I love that. I can't wait to talk more about it.
Yeah, well, I listened to actually also beyond your podcast, I listened to an interview that you gave and it gave a lot about your history, talking about how you kind of, you know, you spent many years single and that's sort of, it seems where it came out of. And it's always so interesting just to hear, you know, could you just tell us about yourself, your own path and sort of how it led to what you're doing in the world right now?
Yeah, you know, it's such an amazing thing how the places where we feel stuck and blocked, which is the heart of what you do here, are such keys to kind of our mission in life in some ways, right? Because of our journey to deal with those things. So I grew up a gay kid. I was born in the 50s. My parents are Holocaust survivors. Wow. So I was a sensitive kid, and toughness was a really, really kind of important value. And I was really sensitive and I did not know what to do with my sensitivity. So I built up lots of defenses. Plus, I was gay. And that did not make it easy in the world that I grew up in. So I built up a lot of shame. And the most beautiful parts of me, I knew they were there, but I was ashamed of them. Yeah. Anyway, in growing up, I knew I wanted a relationship. I was like one of these people who really knew he wanted a relationship, and nothing lasted more than 6 weeks. That was my limit until I was in my late 20s. And God knows I tried. I was, you know, I called it chronically single. And actually, I started a support group for chronically single shrinks like myself, because there, you know, there are a lot of us. And so I kept trying. Nothing worked. So in that process, though, as I entered into therapy, I kind of learned something that was my greatest discovery. And it was shocking, and it was beautiful, and it was important. And it was the very places where I was the most insecure, where I felt the most need to cover up my authenticity, were the key to finding love. I had no idea. So then I discovered that as I learned to embrace those parts, which I call core gifts, and I'll be teaching your listeners how to recognize their own core gifts in this process, I realized that as I started embracing my core gifts, the people I was attracted to and the people I was attracting began to change, and my relationships began to change. So I thought, what are these core gifts? What is this journey? This is a deeper journey than just finding love. This is a journey into our deepest selves. And that was kind of my greatest discovery. That was like the glimmer of there's a pathway to love here. And that was that our deepest insecurities reveal our greatest gifts.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing that is.
Yeah, I think that like really, it lines up in like kind of an interesting way with a lot of what we work with couples, in that we end up with people, you're kind of working at the beginning with people of how to find something within themselves that allows them to connect with others. We end up with people on the other side of the spectrum where they've become disconnected. And what we find is that our greatest suffering is the thing that sort of separates us from our partner.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we use that as a way to get connected with them again, which oftentimes our greatest suffering is sort of a part of us that's sort of cut off and neglected and lost.
Yes.
That is, I think, what you're talking about, this core gift, this really soft side of ourselves, this really like intimate part of ourselves.
Exactly.
And I just want to piggyback on that too, because when we are doing the work with couples and they recognize they're both suffering and they both feel alone, but they hadn't been able to be vulnerable enough to share it with each other. Like, that is so huge, because, you know, we always say being in a relationship and feeling alone is worse than being single, because you truly feel like that core sense of rejection.
Yeah. So what was for you, like, on the personal level, before we get into like the, you know, really understanding this core gift, what was the aha moment for you around those aspects of yourself that you had built walls around?
I guess the deep aha was that they were the most beautiful parts of me. That was the aha.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Instead of hiding them away or being ashamed of them, you were like, how do I bring these out and blossom from this?
Yes. How do I actually champion them? And so that was what was first for me. And then that began to change, you know, so many things. But these concepts apply so deeply to couples who are, you know, as someone who's been in a marriage and a committed relationship now for 16 years, I work on that on a regular basis in my own life too. And I say this all the time. There isn't a day that goes by that I'm not humbled by my clay feet when it comes to intimacy and the things that I need to learn. But that's a beautiful learning. And I think such a key here is like finding people who treasure those parts of you. Because without that, we're just going to get re-triggered and re-traumatized again and again. So that's such a key. And, you know, when we feel like our partner can't honor and treasure those parts, there's a journey that has to happen. And the first stage of the journey is understanding what those parts are.
Absolutely.
So for me, goodness is really important to me. Quality of goodness. And I said, like, my sensitivity, but I was ashamed of those parts of me. So I was consistently attracting people who had a toughness about them. As I did this work, I began to become more interested and open to people who had deep qualities of goodness. And my husband has, you know, really wonderful qualities of goodness, and I'd be in a lot of pain and things would not work for me if that wasn't the case. So I think for all of us, discovering our core gifts right in the places that where we're most ashamed to show ourselves. Like, and that's a fabulous question for everybody in a couple. What are the parts of yourself that you are the most timid to reveal? And those are your core gifts. Those places are nuclear. They're nuclear for healing in your relationship.
It's just the hardest part is that so many people don't want to go there. Ken.
It is so hard. It is so hard.
It is so hard.
I know. You know, in my intensives, most of the people are single, but many of them are also coupled. And this is what I find. For people who are coupled, that's the work. That's the work, yeah. To name these core gifts and then to be able to instruct our partners in what those core gifts are and what they need. Oh my God, it's so tender, it's so vulnerable, it's so hard, but that's like the heart of changing things in a relationship.
Yeah. I think this like really relates to something that like even that Tara and I are talking about currently in our life is just like getting sort of joy has become buried. Is that life is so, there's so much going on and there's so much ways in which we protect ourselves starting from children, whether it be from like traumatic events or just like the way we're acculturated that like our joy gets buried. Then we have this like spark of a moment oftentimes with our partner at the beginning where it sort of gets to blossom just organically and happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then life comes tumbling down on us again. And we're like, I know for me, in my own therapy, I've a lot of times been like, how do I feel joy again? Like, how do I feel like just unbridled happiness? And it's what you're talking about. It's like, how do I get to those aspects of myself
exactly.
that have just gotten freaking, you know, muted, buried, crushed, you know, whatever. Yeah, so okay, let's dig into it. Like how do you help somebody get to these core gifts and allow them to come out?
We want to know the work you do, Ken.
I'm taking notes.
Well, thank you for framing it that way, starting with the personal. And that's one of the things I love about your work, the two of you, is that you're really real. You model this stuff, and that's really rare. You're not talking from a pedestal. You're talking from real life. And I think that's what makes your work so special. But I have a map for you. I have an actual map.
All right.
That will guide people in that. Should I share that?
We're visual learners. Yeah, please do.
Okay.
And for our listeners who aren't on YouTube, I will have a link in the show notes to this that Ken will provide me. I'll pop it in there. So when you're listening to this, if you want to just like pull it up in your phone and check it out while he's talking, and then obviously all you watching on YouTube, you'll just be able to see it live.
Yeah, and for those of you who are just on audio, it's absolutely fine because it's a really simple map, and I can explain it to you. It's a target image with three circles. And the inside circle is what I call your gift zone. The middle circle is the zone of protection. And the outer circle is the zone of disconnection. And the concept of this map is that the closer you get in toward the center, the more available to intimacy you are, the more available to giving, sharing, and showing love. So, and the journey is to get there, which is not an easy journey, because in that center lie our core gifts. In our gift zone lie the most, what's there? That's like if you picture a flower with like a lot of petals, you know, when you go into the center of that flower, those innermost petals are the most beautiful, but they're also the most bruisable, the most woundable, the most tender. And that is what we are like. So we build up defenses. So I'll come back to the gift zone, which is the sweet spot. But because of that, we build up defenses and we move into the zone of protection. So when we're in the gift zone with our partners, we're showing our hearts. And again, I'll come back to some of the keys there, but we're showing our hearts. But it is hard to show our hearts, especially if we felt hurt by our partner, if we felt hurt by life, because our gifts, our core gifts, are the places where we feel the greatest joy, but they're also the most bruisable parts of ourselves. They're the most tender parts of ourselves. And because of that, they're the places we get the most triggered, which means we have like the most defensive structures around them.
Right.
So to live in our gift zone, two things have to happen. One, you have to be in your heart. You have to be in the beating heart of your humanity, in your joy, in your sadness, in your need, in your longing, in your enthusiasm, in your creativity, like those really human alive parts. But you need something else too. You need to be able to hold them with appreciation and compassion. Mm. Otherwise, the gift zone's not going to be a gift zone. It's going to be a place of pain. So there's this thing, I guess I am talking about the gift zone a little bit more. Is this concept of being able to learn how to hold your humanity with what I call cupped hands. And you could even try this if you want. Like if you take your hands and just cup them and just imagine that you are holding, let's say, a baby bird. So when you cup your hands like that, you're doing two things. You're creating an environment of treasuring and supporting and cradling, and you're allowing space at the same time. And that combination is magic. And when we learn to hold our hearts that way, all of a sudden we dignify ourselves and we're with our partner. And instead of just like getting defensive and prickly, we could say, there's something I'm needing now.
Yeah.
Because I spent so many years being defensive and prickly every time I needed something. That's that cupped hand place. And when you do that, you are most beautiful. You're kind of luminous in that place. But the work that you teach and the work that I teach teaches us how to do that because it's not easy to do that.
No.
So we move into that middle zone, the zone of protection. In its early stages, it's just like numbness. It's too much scrolling. It's, you know, missing some bids from your partner. It's getting too busy. And that's where we start losing our joy. And in the further regions of the zone of protection, we actually start not being ourselves. We get prickly. We get critical. We push the person away to protect ourselves, but they're the person we love. So, you know, there's a lot of existential pain with that.
Yeah, it's very true.
And then as we move out further, that's the zone of disconnection. And that's a pretty dark and painful place. And so our task in each of these zones, and each of these zones has a particular form of pain, and each of these zones has a particular set of behaviors that we do that either draw love in or push love away. So this is an interactive map because you can ask yourself all the time, where am I in this map? Am I in the zone of protection? How far into that circle am I? How close am I to my gift zone? Because when you're in your gift zone, you're in your magic. And the kind of people who are looking for someone like you will notice you because your heart shows.
Yeah.
But that takes being able to dignify that part of you. And so this is just a map, and it says source of self in the center, because I think that this is a really spiritual place as well. And I'm going to stop sharing this now, but I'm just going to share one more concept that kind of, I think, ties this together. And this is a concept for everyone in relationship. We all have defensive patterns, right? Like I have patterns of being irritable and judgmental. I have patterns of kind of being too intense. Not that intensity is not a wonderful thing, but like after a lifetime of being told that I'm too intense, it has made me more angry about that. So I tend to get more intense. It's hard for me to be like chill. Like my daughter says to me, Dad, read the room. So awesome. These are some defensive patterns of mine. But here's the concept that I want to offer that I think is different than an understanding of like pathology versus health. It's a much more human way to understand things. But here it is. Within every one of our defensive patterns lies a part of us that has been wounded. Mm-hmm. Within every wound lies the gift that has been wounded. And within every gift lies the portal to our deepest self. So every time we're acting like assholes, every time we're being defensive, every time we're pushing love away or not and not realizing it, anytime we're not reading the room, we can ask ourselves, what's the wound here? What's the hurt part of me?
Yeah.
And then we could say, what's the gift that has been hurt? And then we could say, what is the beauty of that gift? And when we do those things, then all of a sudden, we can approach life and our relationship in a really different way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing that we talk about, people, is it these moments of disconnection, this strife between you and your partner can either be looked at as disruptive, or it could be looked at as an opportunity. And that if we dig deep into it, it's an opportunity to know each other better. It's an ability to understand each of your most important areas of growth. And then from your perspective, it's an opportunity to connect with that part of yourself that's just beautiful and precious.
Even though the world might have told you it's not. Like the world tells you maybe you're too tender and that's embarrassing or not good if you're a man. Or maybe the world tells you you're too fierce or intense or truth-seeking or you're too needy. Those are all core gifts. Need, tenderness, and a fierceness of living. But we're not taught that. So we have to relearn. Like, and that's the thing. The minute you can say, what is the gift underneath my partner? Because I know him, I know her, I know them. I could see they're doing something kind of like defensive here. What's the part of them that they don't know how to live yet in the world that's like convulsively trying to make itself known?
Could we give like an, our listeners love like examples, like even if you wanted to use one of us, but an example of the protector.
The zone of protector, the zone and of then the outer is the zone of disconnection.
Disconnection, and then how you take that journey of getting to what that gift actually is from this place of pain.
Can I use one of you, really?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Sure. I'd love it. I'd love it. So if you could say, like, pick a defensive pattern, like a thing that you do that can push love away or make you feel lonely and disconnected in the relationship.
It's when I get like overstimulated, like whether it's with kids or I've been at work all day and I get home and I'm just like, I don't like this life is too much for me. Like, I just feel like I just want to freeze and be done. Like, I'm just
perfect.
It's like I blame everybody else. Yeah.
Oh God, do I relate? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just to say something about what you're describing is that that kind of response, I think, is a very common one. And also like, well, it relates to a lot of things. It relates to sex. It relates to spirituality. It relates to a lot of things. So let's look at this. So that's the defensive structure. And then, so what are maybe the behaviors that you do?
I get irritable.
Yeah.
I get snarky. I'm judgmental. I'll kind of just externally focus on like, I will clean and I'll just be like huffing and a puffing, like an internal huffing and a puffing, but people can feel it.
Oh, right? I so relate to you.
Because it's very different from my heart and when I'm super engaged.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm like an internal huffer puffer.
So, okay. So that's the defensive behavior. That means that there's a wound underneath it, and you have articulated that wound. Your nervous system can't process anymore. The world is happening at a pace that is dishonoring what your nervous system needs.
Yes.
Does that feel accurate?
It feels absolutely true.
Yeah. So then I would propose, as someone who really relates to this, that your nervous system is exquisitely sensitive, that there's a deep sensitivity to your nervous system. And let me ask you this. When you're in a place where the world is going at the pace of your nervous system, and there's like the pacing is just true and right for you, who do you become?
I'm like a beam of loving light and people can just feel it.
There you go. You have described your core gift, this loving light quality that your family knows and loves about you, that EJ knows and loves about you, that is like, you know, obvious to your listeners. That's the core gift. The wound is that your nervous system is not happy in the world. It's not comfortable yet. Yeah. And so if instead of looking at it like, okay, this is my deficit. This is my like screwed up place. Instead, you think my nervous system is my treasure. And the instrument of my nervous system is so sensitive. It's so sensitive that it needs an environment that allows it peace and grace. And when that happens, I blossom.
Yeah.
And so then when we do that, we can think, I need to not push through this. I need to ask for certain things. And I'll just give you an example for me.
Yeah, this is so good. I have goosebumps just to let you know, Ken. This is so beautiful.
Yeah, that's like everything. That's all the pieces. There's the defensive pattern. And then instead of just blaming ourselves and saying, I have to do better, you say, what's the wound?
Yeah.
And then, and the wound is that your nervous system is not being treated right by the world. Mm-hmm. And what's the gift? The gift is that when your nervous system is in its right place and can be attuned, you blossom. And that's why I say that Within every gift lies a portal to your deepest self, your mission, your soul, and your meaning.
Yeah. Tara and I are going to take a pause right now in our conversation to share some important information about some things we're doing here at Relationship Renovation. We are launching a private coaching program where we're going to take on 8 couples and we're going to work directly with the two of you. It's Tara and I together. We're going to be meeting with you for sessions. We're going to work through the relationship renovation model. And there's a few other ways in which we're going to work with you that I think are going to be like super effective.
So get ready for the we transformation. We can handle this. We can communicate with compassion even through difficult times, and we can feel more deeply, intimately connected.
So if you're interested, all you got to do is reach out to us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. We'll schedule a 30-minute discovery call. We'll hear about what's going on for you guys. We'll tell you about how we're going to work with you. Again, we're only taking 8 couples, so reach out to us, coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, as soon as possible.
We really cannot wait to begin this journey with you.
It's beautiful. I mean, I guess what keeps like jumping out to me is just this work, like when you're working with just the individual, it becomes a little less complex and you can kind of move them in the way you are with Tara towards this like beautiful part of themselves. And because you're a safe person that's talking about it in a very empathetic way. But when you layer over, like I just think of that diagram you had of two of these happening at the same time.
Yeah. What's next?
And I think I could just imagine them like both of the circles moving as each person triggers the other person and how the darkness of the zone of protection from one partner could really dampen over the gift zone of the other.
Well said.
And trying to get two people to like come into unison and be together in that gift zone. I mean, I know that's something that Tara, I think both we've realized and we've matured a little bit to see what is lovely about each other and what is in that gift zone, but we still are struggling so much to sort of be in there at the same time together.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's so true. And that image of like the zone of disconnection, like actually like somewhat, you know, even traumatizing the gift zone of another person. But I think that the key is to start with developing gift eyes.
Yes.
Because when you develop those eyes for what the gift is, you see things in a different way. Like, here's an example for me of just what you described, EJ. So I'm in my heart a lot. Like, my husband is a financial advisor and a tech guy. Like, I'm the feelings channel, you know, all feelings all the time.
He's head, your heart.
He's heart too, luckily, but he frames the world through his head. Yeah. So I have something really personal that I want to talk about that happened during the day, of which there's probably a lot of things. He's washing the dishes and my nervous system starts to get really jangly because I feel like he's only half listening. And this matters to me. So in the past, I would do all of my defensive structures.
Yes.
Now I say, honey, this is really important to me. I could wait till you finish the dishes, but then could we sit on the couch? Because I really need all of you for this. That's because I know that this is a gift instead of just like an oversensitivity on my part. So I think that process of always, always, always saying, what's the gift here? Even in your partner's zone of disconnection, that means they're in a great deal of pain. Yeah. If you could see the gift part of them that is like suffering and acting out, that's a helpful thing. But the first step is to see our own gift.
Well, can I just share one thing? Because this is so important. Because what I'm hearing is like you have to really understand, reframe your suffering in terms of like, what is my gift?
Yes.
And then ask for what you need. Because what I do, and I'm just like type A, and I start to be like, I feel shameful, like, oh gosh, they had to see that bad part of me today. Because I'm like, oh, my nervous system just sucks. I can't handle it. I should be able to handle more. So now when I look at, because I'll always tell EJ, like, I've got that feeling, like, I need to turn on Miles Davis or like whatever it is. Like, I will usually say that. But for me, I still have internalized guilt around it.
Right.
So now you have given me, I mean, I have done years of therapy, Ken. You have given me one very simple practice of turning it into a cup, a cradling, and looking at it very differently. Instead of blaming myself that my central nervous system is super sensitive, it's like it is sensitive and I'm going to not push through and I'm going to do what I need to do, even if it just takes 30 minutes to give it some peace and calm.
Oh, yes.
So
thank you. Yeah. You know, people say that all the time, that like naming the gifts, this gift work, which I'm going to teach people how to do it really quickly, just has helped more than like a lot of other, because it's your soul, it's your very being. And I just want to say one other thing, Tara, is that like, not only is that a way to self-regulate, it is a way to reach states of such depth of love and capacity and spirituality. It doesn't stop with fixing problems or even intimacy. It doesn't end. That capacity has vastness to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this might be a good segue into what you just said you're going to take our listeners through, is that what I heard you say in that example with you and your husband was that you had to take care of yourself. Like you had to recognize that, that this is actually a need that I have of that is in my gift zone, that it's, I need to tell him, you know, I need to, I need to sort of keep it safe myself and then make a request. And if our partner doesn't meet that request, if they're like, no, I'm too busy, then there's a problem. But you, you know, and that's a whole other thing. But that ultimately when
that's a whole other podcast.
When there's that part of myself that really wants to open up and be seen, and I've spent most of my life trying not to be seen, that then I got to speak up for it. You know, I have to let her, like, I really need your attention. You know,
right.
I need your attention right now because there's this part of me that's like really important and there's something I want to talk about.
You've articulated that like so beautifully. It's like first underneath the shame, recognizing the gift and then championing it and actually interacting around what your need is. That's like, don't you think that so much relationship suffering is connected to our inability to do that?
Yeah, well, it is interesting because I think it's really complex there for me. And I think it's something that works in a broader sense is like I think we want the other person to just, we think we want them to just notice it and do it without the request.
Right, yes.
But really maybe what that is maybe it's the fact that like, I know that's not going to happen. So it really lines up well for me never opening up in a vulnerable way.
True.
You know, instead of like thinking like, oh, it's her fault because she doesn't give me the attention. It's really my just self-protective of being like, I don't want to open up.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't want to show that part of myself.
Like exactly.
Nobody else has shown interest in it for, you know, 52 years. So
why
would she?
Yeah. And you got to something else, which is that there's like a little bit of a ring of fire outside of our gift zone and it's shame. Like usually our gifts are on the other side of shame. Anything you're ashamed of, we ask ourselves, what's the gift? Like, for example, two qualities that I have had shame around. I mean, there are lots, but two are, one, my love of attention. How I could be like an attention seeker, an attention grabber. I don't like that. I don't like that. And so I had to sit down and think, wait, this is what I teach. I got to find a gift in this. And I was able to find the gift. And the gift is what allows me to be a teacher, is my hunger to be able to share and to teach and my capacity to be on a bigger stage and not be ashamed or embarrassed and to give like in a big way. I'm built to give in a big way. So that's a beautiful thing to see. Does it mean that the immaturity aspects are not there? No, because our deepest insecurities like circle around our greatest gifts. Our immaturities do. So that's one. I'm not going to go into the second one just because of time, but it's just an example of like, and both of you describe this, two beautiful qualities in you, but there's like shame around that. And that's where to dig for gold. Exactly where the shame is.
So how do you help clients, Ken? Like, how do you get them to get to their core gifts?
Well, you know, that's something I have spent a really long time developing into a process. And I teach it in my book, I teach it in my online course, and I have 6-month intensives where I work with just 12 people over the course of half a year. And we spend 3 months just on the core gift work, but there are simple ways to do it too. And I think the simplest way is, like, you know how, like, in our day-to-day life, things hurt us. Even they slightly hurt us, and we tell ourselves, I just have to be tougher. I just have to move on.
Mm-hmm. Just deal.
Yeah, right. Or things bring us joy, and we, like, feel the joy, but we kind of move away from it kind of quickly. I think a really great step is to actually just take a couple days, have a journal, and notice the things that fill your heart, and just take them a little more seriously and say, how could that capacity in me to feel that joy actually be a core gift? How could it be bigger in my life? How is it connected to my mission? How is it connected to the beauty of who I am in the world? Of course, we don't ask ourselves those questions, but our core gifts are not terminal processes that end at a certain point. They're pathways to something huge and vast, to the very roots of our being, to a land that is so much bigger than the land we normally live in. So we dignify our little joys, sitting with a cup of coffee, feeling like something is being seen, being in the supermarket and watch a checkout person be kind to an older person. Mm. All those things, actually thinking, like, I'm going to think about this, and I'm going to think, what's the core gift here?
I love that.
So do that. Right. Yeah. And then the other one is the things that hurt your heart. Mm. Watch for the way you tell yourself, I need to be tougher, but instead think this. How does it make sense that that hurt my heart? Because it stepped on a place of a core gift of mine. How is it that that hurt my heart? Because it probably hurt me around something I value. What is that thing that I value? How do I live that way? How is that a treasure? How is that a core gift? And then you start to name it. If you start going around dignifying your joys and your hurts and thinking they really mean something big, they say something about my soul, my very being. When you start doing that, you will start being able to name your core gifts.
Yeah. I think that that blows me away, because so oftentimes couples come in and one of the things you hear one of them say is, like, I've lost myself. I don't even know who I am anymore. So they have to, like, get away because they blame their partner. It's their partner's fault that they've lost this aspect of themselves. And I love the how you just, like, make this, you bring this right back to the personal responsibility of, like, what are the things that hurt, that really hurt my heart? What are the things that fill my heart? And figuring that out yourself. And then, because then your partner has an opportunity again, because you can make requests. You can
Exactly. You know,
you can share it and see if they're open to it. You can say, like, this is important to me. Can you, can we get in on this together? Yeah, it's really moving.
Yeah, like what you just said, I feel like it's an act of generosity when you could talk to your partner. I think they experience it as a generous act on your part, if you could do it that way.
Yes, I think so. I mean, I know anytime I break through and actually share something that's out of the ordinary, that is more vulnerable, that is about what I'm struggling with, Tara's pretty darn receptive to it.
Yeah.
Well, and it builds trust, right? Because if your partner is not trusting to come to you with something, even though I don't even get the opportunity, it's like, no, just I can handle this, right?
Yeah.
But there's tons of unintentional moments.
I want you to want me.
Yeah, there's unintentional moments in relationship where you passively try to make a plea to have this part of yourself seen, that your partner unknowingly, because you're not being direct about it, does, you know, invalidate or step on or ignore. And then you're like, oh, yeah, you see, you know.
Right.
But you're not really giving them a chance because you haven't figured it out for yourself.
Yeah. You haven't really swung out in terms of what you really ask for. And I think that happens a lot in sex too.
Oh my God. Because it's nonverbal and it's even more and our eyes are closed half of the time. Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Oh my, I feel like we need to do a second podcast just on this and sex. I'm telling you, Ken, it would be huge.
Oof. Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. I do a lot of work around our sexual core gifts.
Ooh.
I mean, that's just like when you say that, my mind scrambles. I'm like, well, what in the fuck is that? Like, what you know, like who does that kind of deep thought around their own sexuality? Those are some big questions.
Those are big, big questions.
We don't even answer ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could say something about that now or...
Yeah, give us one tip.
One thing, but
tease us a little bit on this one.
Okay. More than a teaser, the three questions that we can ask ourselves, but they're big questions. Okay. So one is, and this is the foundation one, is what makes me feel safe in sex? Because like it's so easy to go into that place where you're maybe sexually excited so you can ride on that, but you don't feel totally safe. So yeah, what are the things that make me feel really safe in sex? That's question one. Question two is like in sex, what are the things that more than just feel good, they actually start to like move me emotionally? Like my emotions are brought in. What are those ways of being touched, of being seen, of being related to? Mm-hmm. What's the pacing that actually like starts to move me emotionally? And then the third one, after you do the first two, is what really turns me on? Like, and that's kind of an existential question that we have to answer. It's like, what things, what ways of being touched, what kind of sex, like, actually is super exciting to me. Because when you get the place where you have safety, emotionally movedness, and like really kind of like seriously sexy sex, like that's like, you know, that's the sweet spot when you have all of that.
And it's what we all deserve. There's just ways we have to get there first.
Yeah.
I think so many people expect that it should just happen. And if you're not going into that internal safety piece and also knowing what your needs, desires are, how's your partner ever going to know?
Yeah.
You know, and I just see it all the time. There's these expectations we should be having great sex because we had great sex in the beginning, but then kids happen, you know, many things happen.
Right.
And then there's a stall. And so I feel like that's why this will be an entire different episode, because it's like, well, you know, couples come in with intimacy issues and I'm like, how often do you guys talk about it? They're like, we don't. That's why we're here.
I know. It's okay. So hard to talk about that stuff. It is.
I think it, you know, a big thing we talk about is emotional safety and all of this, especially those three questions about sex. I'm like, that establishment of emotional safety in a relationship makes it possible to have these. Because you could have these conversations, I think, you know, with your therapist, maybe with your journal. If you don't have established emotional safety with your partner, man, it's going to be hard, because some of these things, they're just, these are soft, soft places that, like you said, they're susceptible to being injured very easily. Well, thank you, Ken. This has been super compelling, very thoughtful. We'd love to do this again, because I think we got a little bit of an understanding of the way you're framing things. Mm-hmm. And so it would be beautiful to go deeper.
Oh, I would be honored. It's really fun to work with you both. And I feel really honored that you're going to be on my podcast as well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, could you just tell us, because I know that there are going to be people who listen to this and are like, I need to hear more about this. I want to dig deeper into Ken's work. So Ken, could you give us, like, how can people contact you? How can they work with you, learn more about what you're doing?
Sure, absolutely. So the quickest way is to just go to deeperdatinggifts.com, and then you will get a free ebook of some of these key ideas, these key teachings that most of them have gone viral on Psychology Today, and they're like the heart and soul of the things that I teach. So deeperdatinggifts.com. Go to Deeper Dating Podcast. There's like about 200 episodes where I go into so many different pieces of all of these things in much greater depth. There's my book, the Deeper Dating Book, which is available everywhere. And if you get on my mailing list, you'll learn about the intensive too, which is a very kind of special thing. It's the only way at this point to work closely with me. And I do 4 of them a year, and we're in our 24th intensive now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So those are different ways to work with me. DeeperDatingPodcast.com and DeeperDatingGifts.com are the places to start to get on my mailing list.
Excellent. Well, thank you for all the work that you've done for yourself and within your relationship to now help thousands of people. And it was such an honor to be really with your heart today. That was very, even though you're on a screen across from us, I can feel it. And it's, very energetic and loving, and I can see why so many people feel safe with you to do this type of work. So thank you.
Thank you so much. You know, it's the rarest thing in the world to do an interview first with two people who are a couple. That's like a big deal. That's like an amazing thing. But just that you allow this to go so deep, that's super rare and awesome. So same thing back to you both.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. It's been a pleasure. Again, it's just been a super fun conversation. It's been moving. I mean, I love conversations where I'm sort of like battling between, you know, the intellect, and I felt myself just getting like yanked down into my heart so much, asking myself a lot of these questions.
Yay.
So super valuable. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much for listening. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me, are we?